Let's go to Senator Bernie Sanders, independent Vermont, here on the Ed Schultz Radio Show. Senator, always a pleasure. Good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Ed.
Where are we? It sounds to me like the Republicans are doing everything they can to set the table for them to go after the earned benefits part of all of this, the big three.
Well, the Republican strategy is pretty clear, and that is that despite the fact that the wealthiest people in this country are doing phenomenally well, and the middle class is in significant decline, they want to do deficit reduction on the backs of the elderly, the children, the sick, and the poor, and among other things, cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. The problem that the Republicans are having, and it's a pretty severe problem, is that the American people rejected those ideas in the election. They rejected those ideas in poll after poll after poll. And some of the Republicans are getting a little bit nervous about going forward with that agenda. So you're beginning to see some Republicans saying, well, maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to have millionaires and billionaires pay at the same tax rates that they paid under Bill Clinton. So I think the political strategy has got to be and to understand that we have the vast majority of the people on our side. They are on the defensive, and the Democrats have got to hold firm in demanding that we do what the American people want, and that is go forward with deficit reduction in a way that is fair, which asks corporate America, which today is paying a smaller percentage compared to GDP in taxes than they have ever paid on record, where the wealthy are paying a lower effective tax rate than they have paid in decades, despite the fact that they're all doing really, really well. So we got to hold firm, and I think we win this thing.
You hold firm, you win it?
I believe so, because I believe we have the American people on our side. Ed, you go around the country, go to any state in America, and you ask anybody, go ahead, stand up. Let's see, the Republicans think we should maintain tax breaks for billionaires who are doing phenomenally well, yet they want to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid for working families and the elderly. What do you think? Is that a good idea? What percentage of the American people do you think that's a good idea? 10%? 15%?
I would say that they're squarely in the minority. They are squarely in the minority when it comes to protecting the wealthiest Americans. I mean, we're pretty much at a breaking point where, and this number isn't going to reverse. And I think that's what the Republicans got to realize. You know, you tweeted out that 60% of Americans are think that the wealthiest Americans should pay more. I mean, that number's not going to go down.
No, the polls are very clear, and the reason is that everybody knows it. People on top, I don't know, you know, Warren Buffett did a piece in the New York Times. The people on top, their percentage of income in this America has grown five times over the last 30 years. These guys are doing phenomenally well while we have millions of people who are unemployed, median family income has gone down. People are just struggling to keep their heads above water. Who do you really go to for deficit reduction? Do you attack the people who are already suffering and hurting, can't afford child care, can't afford to send their kids to college, can't pay the light bills, can't buy the food they need, can't buy the prescription drugs? What do you say? Hey, you guys are making millions and billions. And I'll tell you something else, Ed, and really gets me going. When you have CEOs from Wall Street like Lloyd Blankfein, guys are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, guys who got huge bailouts from the taxpayers of this country, guys who are shifting their money to the Cayman Islands, guys who, you know, do all of this stuff, and then they come to Washington, D.C., and they say, oh, yeah, we think you should cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. That's good for the country. I mean, that really is vulgar, it's obscene, and that is just part of the class warfare that we have seen in this country for the last 30 years.
They have no boundaries of arrogance. There's no question about that.
They really don't, Ed. They really have. There's no limit. I guess that's what it takes to be a CEO on Wall Street. No limit to their arrogance.
They continue to push that Medicare and Medicaid have to take these cuts to have a deal. What I gathered on the Hill yesterday was that, you know, if we don't have rates, we're not going to have a deal. I mean, it's down to the brass tacks of that. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. I think we've got to hold firm. In terms of Medicare and Medicaid, what everybody knows is we are the only nation in the industrialized world not to guarantee health care to all people. And that's a problem. That's a bad thing. But on top of that, we end up spending almost twice as much per person on health care as do the people of any other nation. Can we make efficiencies in Medicare and Medicaid, improve the program, and not cut benefits? Of course we can. For example, one example. In the Medicare Part D program passed by the Republicans some years ago under Bush, they put in language that says that Medicare cannot do what the Veterans Administration does, and that is negotiate prices with the pharmaceutical industry. So we're paying much, much more for prescription drugs under Medicare than we should. If you eliminated that provision and you had Medicare negotiate prices, we could save well over $100 billion in a 10-year period. That's an efficiency we should go forward with. And there are other ways that we could save money in Medicare and Medicaid. But what we must not do is raise the eligibility age for Medicare. We must not throw children and working families off of Medicaid. That would be a terrible thing to do.
What do you make of the fact that Cantor says we're not going home?
I think they're getting a little bit nervous, frankly. And I think they're beginning to see some dissension within their ranks. And I think that they understand that this problem is not as difficult and complicated as they have made it out. Look, here's the numbers, Ed. We have already, and everybody has got to remember that, as a result of the agreements in 2010 and 2011, which I voted against, spoke against, we have already cut $1.1 trillion in benefits for working families. Those are the concessions that Obama and the Democrats made. What the president is saying, and I hope very much he holds tough on this, is that simply by doing away with Bush's tax breaks for the top 2%, we're protecting the bottom 98%, we can bring in $1.6 trillion, including limits on deductions for the top 2%. You add that together, that's $2.7 trillion. Your goal is $4 trillion. You got $1.3 trillion. You look at corporate tax loopholes. You look at excessive Pentagon spending and that fact that we're ending. We've ended the war in Iraq. We're ending the war in Afghanistan. You look at, as I mentioned a moment ago, efficiencies in Medicare and Medicaid. It ain't a difficult problem. We can do it. So I think arithmetically it's not hard. The difficulty is that the big money interests and their representatives in the Congress, in the House, are fighting very hard. But we're going to win this if we hang tough.
So going back to the old rates at the top 2%, we'll get $1.6 trillion over 10 years?
We'll get $1.1, and then you limit, as the president has indicated, deductions for the top 2% and a few other things. But without impacting anybody under the top 2%, you can raise $1.6 trillion.
It is, down to the math, it's not an ideology. It really is somebody's got to pay the bill.
Exactly.
And the quickest way to get there and the most secure way to get there without affecting the economy is this way and not hurting benefits.
By the way, you know, I know that listeners may have heard, I'm sure you have discussed, the so-called chain CPI. And what that means is the right wing wants to change the way we compute cost of living adjustments to Social Security. What this would mean, Ed, is if you're 60, and this would go into effect immediately if this passed. If you're 65, by the time you're 75, you get $560 a year less. By the time you're 85, it's $1,000 a year. Now think about that guy who's making $15,000 a year, getting $15,000 on Social Security. That's a big hit. But you know what else it does? It makes significant cuts in benefits for permanently disabled veterans. How's that? Guys who lost their arms and legs in Iraq and Afghanistan would take a hit. At the same time, these guys want to protect the tax breaks the millionaires and billionaires got. So
pretty
I think
amazing.
The longer we debate this issue, Ed, we're going to win it.
All
How
right.
would you like to be the politician talking about cutting benefits for disabled veterans and protecting billionaires' tax breaks?
Well, that's what I've said all along, is that the president's got a simple deal on the table for them. They can go home and say to their constituents, you know, I didn't raise your taxes, 98% of you. They don't
right.
think that's good. They don't think that's good enough.
Well, we're going to make we're going to give them an offer that they can't refuse. And that
all right.
they're going to become a really irrelevant, marginal political party. Mm. Or they're going to have to do what the American people want.
Thank you, Senator. Bernie Sanders with us here on the Ed Schultz Radio Show. Appreciate it so much. Keep up the fight. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Take care.